sitting here thinking that I thought two things when Mike was talking. One is, he really doesn't need me to say anything. He said it all. The second is, how nearly Irish that he had been in the United States Congress when I was president. So, Mr. Mayor, Assembly Woman, candidates and officials, thank you for letting me come to Utica. I love this theater. It's amazing. I think these videos from your former senator, Secretary of State. Stories about America, think about this. Hillary is on a tour of Asia tonight. Today, she was in Vietnam on the 15th anniversary of normalizing the relationships with the country with whom we once fought a bloody and awful war, now perhaps our strongest ally in all of Southeast Asia. We can always make a new beginning in America. We can begin again if we have the right attitude and the right leaders. And I would be here under any circumstances for a lot of reasons. I like Mike Harker. I really do like him. He's done a good job for you. He's been working the economy about 7 years. He's gotten money invested in here. He's been good to help you build an alternative energy future. He's been good for the agricultural community up here, especially for the dairy farmers. He's paid attention to the small business community and seen the potential to grow. He's been good for you. He's been good for America. He sponsored a tax relief bill for the people who need it. If you give tax relief to small businesses when they actually hire new people, or you give them loan guarantees so they can get access to the banks who have the money to loan to get our economy started again, that's a good thing. He did the right thing to oppose the privatization of Social Security. After what happened on Wall Street, did you not get Social Security? I think so. He also, because he was a prosecutor, understands the need to keep worrying about our security. He's been one of the real leaders in the whole Congress on this whole question of cybersecurity, which is a fancy way of saying, what in the wide world are we going to do if our adversaries break into our computer networks and try to shut America down by shutting our computers down, or find out everything we don't want them to know by doing that? Yeah. And wait, y'all shut up. I give you a deal. We'll see if you're serious. You let me talk, and then I'll let you talk to anybody who wants to stand here and let's see you talk. How's that? Because I don't want you to be invaded, and he doesn't either. He's actually bringing jobs to upstate New York to do it. You should be proud of that. You have to ask yourself, why is this even a race? I mean, this is basically all over America. I've done 118 of these events for our candidates around the country. And I've got it because I'm very bothered that people are always vulnerable to making a mistake when they're angry and they're full of anxiety and they're uncertain and they're frustrated. They don't think Washington delivered. And they hire Democrats to fix things they don't feel fixed yet. Because there's always a delay between when you do something that makes sense and when people can feel it. And I know this, I'm holding out to Because when you make an important decision in life and you're really angry, there's about an 80% chance you'll make a mistake. And if you look at it, the Republicans talk to each other in fine print about what they're really going to do if they get in. And then they just give bromides during the election. And they got a story. And it goes something like this. I'll bet you anything, I haven't heard a single speech his opponents give. It goes something like this. Okay, when we were in and controlled everything, we left you in a mess. We left this country in a big hole. But, so you fired us. We get it. You brought in a new coaching team. They had 21 months to get out of the hole. We're not out of the hole yet. And in failing to get us out of the hole, they spent too much money, gave us too much government. It's sort of creeping socialism. You better get rid of them and put us back in before it's too late. And besides that, you got to vote your anger, and the only way to do it is vote against everybody who's in. Don't think about whether they've done a good job or not. Don't think about what their ideas are. Don't think about the difference in their position and ours. Please, just vote against everybody who's in. Please give me my job. Isn't that about what they're saying? We have a different story. Our story is, okay, we're not out of the hole, but it was a really deep hole. And at least we did what our parents taught us to do. We stopped digging. And we have ideas that will get us out of the hole and take us into the 21st century. Don't put it down. Give us two more years, just two more years. You gave them 8 years to dig the hole. Give us half of us now. Record are very inconvenient for the attack of the Republicans. The Distinguished National Journal said that of all the members of the House of Representatives in both parties, he was the most moderate, the most centrist, the most open to good ideas wherever they came from. That's what we need more of in America, somebody who wants to think about the difference between today and tomorrow, not why it's left, but today and tomorrow. The single thing that separates us from the other party in its modern incarnation. He actually believes we're all in this together. That we have obligations to each other, that we have opportunities to help each other, that we're going forward together, we're going to rise or fall together. To hear them tell it, everybody in government is some sort of ravenous person trying to steal your taxes, and government would mess up the two-car parade, and all the Republicans can be trusted to rein it in and balance the budget. That is what I would call false advertising. Or bait and switch. Now look, the Tea Party crowd, they say, listen to what they say they want. Don't they say they want more jobs, a balanced budget, a smaller government, and tax cuts. Isn't that what they say they want?
Yeah.
So let's just take a little walk down memory lane here. This is the latest battle in a 30-year conflict. A Republican and a conservative used to believe this during my whole childhood. Whenever possible, people should do for themselves what they should, can, and the private sector ought to do it. If they can't do something for themselves that we all need done, we should begin with the local and state government, and if they can't do it, then the federal government should do it. In any case, we should always run a balanced budget, unless there is a recession, in which case you may have to stimulate the economy. That's what they believe. They gave us Dwight Eisenhower as president 50 years ago. And that's the year John Kennedy was elected. Eisenhower's last year was 50 years ago. He signed the Interstate Highway Act. It enabled us to really develop a unified national economy and to get around by the standards of those days as we never had before. Richard Nixon signed the bill creating the Environmental Protection Agency because we became aware that we were poisoning the air and the water, and we had to find a way to grow the economy and protect our children's lives and health. He signed the Occupational Safety and Health Act passed by a Democratic Congress because everybody knew that in the end, we couldn't maintain a great manufacturing economy if our working people were worried about losing their fingers or their eyes, making the things that made America great. We were all in this together. Then beginning in 1980, they changed their tune. They said that the most evil thing on earth was any tax burden or any regulatory burden on the wealthiest and most powerful special interest groups in the country, because government was the problem. There was nothing they could do right. And we didn't have an answer for a while, and then you elected me with a whole different theory that we were all just in invest and grow economics instead of trickle-down economics, that we had to rebuild the middle class. And you can do it and still be fruitful for some people and ask people to do well as they were. So what happened? In the last 28 years before President Obama took office, we had an experiment. They had the White House 20 years, we just had it 8. Let's look at the Tea Party test. Joe? We had 22.7 million jobs in the 8 years I served. In the 20 years, not counting the meltdown, we won't charge them with the jobs lost after the meltdown, even though it happened on their watch, before the meltdown. In the 20 years on both sides, they didn't have that many jobs. We had more jobs in 8 years than they did in 20 years. Times as many Americans worked their way from poverty into the middle class in those 8 years as in their 20 years. 100 times. In that period, we quadrupled the debt of the country from $1 to $4 trillion in the 12 years before me. It was the first time in American history we had ever run a permanent debt, being driven by politicians who swore to you that they were for a constitutional amendment to balance the budget. But they institutionalized deficit spending, drove interest rates through the roof, created a recession. That's why you elected me. You really think about it. You really think about it. You really think about it. You think you're messed up and anything's special. So, I set about fixing it. In all that 28-year period, we have had exactly 4 balanced budgets and surpluses. My last 4. I paid $600 million down on the debt, left on a $230 million surplus, and a rule that enabled us to balance the budget and run those surpluses. The rule, everything in Washington got a nickname. It was called PAYGO, pay as you go. In other words, if you want to do something new, you either got to stop doing something you were doing or find some new money to pay for it and tell the American people it's worth it. And guess what? It was old-fashioned arithmetic. I had this naive idea when I moved from the governorship to Washington that if 2 and 2 was 4 in Little Rock and Utica, it would probably still be 4 when I got to Washington. And lo and behold, it turned out to be true. If that budget had been left in place as the structure of the budget all during the next 8 years after I left office, even accounting for this terrible crisis, by 2015 this country would be out of debt completely for the first time since Andrew Jackson was president in 1832. And then we would not have to borrow money from the Chinese every time we want to give the seniors a drug benefit, or send our soldiers to Afghanistan, or do the wonderful, best thing President Bush did, that PEPFAR program to help people with HCV and malaria around the world. But we borrowed the money to do all of it. So I could get 5 tax cuts and we could double the debt of the country. And we borrowed the money from China, so our trade enforcement dropped 80% from when I was president. After gaining manufacturing jobs in 6 of 8 years, we lost them all 8 years. This is not rocket science, folks. It's not free to run these big deficits. So I get why people are upset about them. But what did Mike R. Curry do when he took office? They put back in pay as you go. What have you seen about the deficit? On December the 1st, a presidential bipartisan commission, 50-50 Republican Democrat, is going to give us a deficit reduction plan. With PAYGO, the deficit reduction plan, and doing a few other things to cut down inflation and health care costs, we can balance the budget again. What have the Republicans offered? They've offered us two budgets. One of them, by Representative Paul Ryan, gives 117% of the tax cuts to people in the top 5% of the income group, which means 95% of the people get a tax increase, which they might be willing to undertake if it balanced the budget, but instead, it adds $1 trillion to the debt. Doesn't do a thing that the current trajectory doesn't do. The other budget in their pledge to America would increase the debt by $3 trillion, and has been literally ridiculed by the conservative Concord coalition, and yet they're going around telling the independent voters in this congressional district they are the party of fiscal conservatism. Do not believe it. Mike R. Curry is the only person who has done anything to put this country back on the path. So they want small government. You know what size the government was when I left office? The smallest it's been in, it's with 2000, in 40 years since Dwight Eisenhower's last year. That's right. My budget was the size it was when John Kennedy was elected president. On the 12 years before me and the 8 years later, it was bigger. We gave tax cuts to the middle class people, the working poor people. Then he came in and voted for the stimulus, which gave tax relief to over 100 million American families, 98 children in that family. So really, if you want more jobs, a smaller government, a balanced budget, and tax relief, the Tea Party crowd should take my ears as a model, not all this Republican rhetoric, and they should all support Mike R. Curry for re-election, because that's what he's doing. Job, tax relief, all the government, and the tech. I'm going to go through these issues. This is really important.